The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a great Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com, Arizona centric on White Mountain Radio. Good to be back in the Valley and to do our thing. Busy show ahead. Ray Anderson is going to be with us, the new athletic director at Arizona State. I'm very much looking forward to visiting with him. I'm going to try to make it through the entire conversation without any real talk of football, because that stuff takes care of itself. Okay, if you don't win at football, I want to know if he's going to run Mount Cush or if he's already been up to Camp T, where it is the stadium project is going, the globalization of Arizona State. And Michael Crow always talks about wanting to be a global brand. And are we going to see football games or basketball games or golf, whatever, worldwide? And taking over at Arizona State, Ray Anderson will be with us here in about 15 minutes. We'll go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort Casino odds makers. Rain tomorrow in the two NFL playoff games. How about on Sunday? What are they saying in Vegas? If you're running up to Vegas this weekend, the South Point Casino, that's where Jimmy Vaccaro is, 39 years doing the odds and booking in Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, Goody at the Movies, will be with us in about 45 minutes from now. Wolf of Wall Street is out. I've heard that that's not good by some people, and other people think it's terrific. Her comes out. That's where Scarlett Johansson, you don't see her, you just hear her voice. She's like Siri on your iPhone. Is that any good? And I want to know from Bill, give me five movies that you're looking forward to in 2014. And then in the second hour, Cooper Webb from Team Yamaha is going to be with us. You're like, Brad, really? Radio show? Yeah, I am going to do Cooper Webb. Team Yamaha, Monster Energy, AMA, Supercross. Supercross means indoors, for those who don't get it. They have 50,000 people that will be in the stadium tomorrow night in downtown Phoenix. And this kid's only 18. He's the up-and-comer. So I want to have him on and get into his story a little bit. Lot going on, of course, on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T, and our website, sports360az.com. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything, gets us off and running on today's show.
We have what some would call a developing situation here in the Valley, Brad. Reports are Suns guard Eric Bledsoe, one of the many bright spots this year, who is already out indefinitely, could miss the remainder of the season after it was announced he will need surgery to repair cartilage in his right knee. So right now the Suns are 21-13. Somehow they're the seventh seed in the West. Today we ask you on Facebook, if Bledsoe is indeed done for the season, I give the Suns a fill-in-the-blank percentage chance of making the playoffs. And one thing we've come to learn this season about this team is to clearly expect the unexpected. So I'm going to go ahead and say 30%.
Well, I can trump you because I have more breaking news on Eric Bledsoe than you have, because it actually broke about 3 minutes ago. Eric Bledsoe underwent successful arthroscopic surgery today involving meniscus in his right knee. So he already has undergone the surgery now. Dr. Carter did the knee. Dr. Carter's cut me open.
Correct.
And he put me back together, and he's terrific. We're talking about meniscus. Okay, so meniscus is like a fingernail that's hanging there that just kind of irritates you. And I'm not surprised by this. The Suns just sent out a release that says that he is going to pursue a possible return to action during the second half of the NBA season. Yeah.
Vague.
Well, but look, it's meniscus. Now, are they leaving hope of hope?
Sure.
Because sometimes in these surgical procedures, like, hey, there's not a chance, but man, we got to drag these fans along saying, hey, can Bledsoe come back? And we don't have too high expectations. He could be Derrick Rose. We don't want to lose him. We have this whole thing with the restricted free agency with him in the offseason, on and on and on and on and on. But on the 10th of January, meniscus, to me, and every knee is different, but between my wife and I, 25 knee surgeries, and I'm not exaggerating. So we know knees pretty well. We know Dr. Carter very well. My gut tells me on this one, around the 1st of March, let's see where things are. That's 7 weeks from now. Let's just see where things are. And really, let's see where things are about March 15th in terms of coming back on the court. That's just over 2 months. That's about 9 to 10 weeks.
And that's what, about 3 or 4 weeks before the regular season ends?
Right. And look, Eric, they have given themselves enough of a cushion that they're sitting here right now. And the fact that they have somebody that, in my opinion, is a better two guard in Goran Dragic or a guard off the bench, I've said that all along, But there's no question he helps them out. So we'll get into that a little bit further on in the show, but I'm not willing to write him out for the season. You might want to change your question.
I mean, that's how we
now
do.
Now that
news
he's had
breaks.
Surgery.
So Facebook.com/sports360AZ. And whoever puts up this question every day will make sure to go and tweak that. So,
Nice.
Like Bledsoe's knee, a little tweak here and there.
There's nothing wrong with that. Let's get you caught up now. Some of the things going on in the world of sports brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Hey, you know, we got playoff football coming up this weekend. You want to get out and watch some of the games, pull down the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, be in the White Mountains, the Sunrise Ski Resort nearby. It's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino has been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one, just outside of Pine Top. Beautiful place to go to, stay, have some fun. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. Appreciate the Honda Resort and Casino. Pauley Pavilion last night to me was, it was okay. I've been in there when it's been busier, when there's been more of a rabid environment, I guess. And U of A did what I thought U of A should do. Aaron Gordon could, there's some stuff about Aaron Gordon I'm going to get into, the U of A phenom freshman. But last night, late in the game, he was able to help his team pull away.
Now an alley-oop. Oh, Gordon! What a finish! Terrific throwdown by Gordon. An incredible catch, too. The soft retreat defensively for the Bruins will not get it done.
Stay passion, Bill Walton. Nick Johnson, though, continues. Whenever there's a big game and a big moment in a game, if you watch U of A during Nick Johnson's tenure, for whatever reason, some way, somehow, he comes up with the big catch, the big shot, the big defensive play, and that was the case last night.
Well, they continue to work the shot clock. They almost turn it over. Johnson with the floater. Rims around and drops through, and the Wildcats are back on top by one.
Nick Johnson would finish with 22. Arizona would pound UCLA inside, 42-22 in the paint, and U of A remains undefeated, 79-75 over the Bruins. ASU last night, Jordan Baczynski had 20. Ray Anderson here in a couple of minutes will be with us, the athletic director at Arizona State. Some other things on my mind. Well, first of all, here's Dr. Michael Crow on yesterday at the press conference introducing Ray Anderson. Here's the Dr. Crow likes to be at events, of course, likes to be seen, likes to be heard on his new athletic director.
First is to deliver an academic athletic program. Not a sports team by itself, an athletic academic program. We're now at record levels of graduation, record levels of grade point, record levels of academic success for our athletes.
Eric, you were there yesterday, so was this a well-attended event?
Yes,
yeah,
very well-attended. They had it at the Gainey Ranch, right down
the
street
Ranch.
In Scottsdale. Very nice.
Heck
very
yeah.
Very long-winded, very...
Ooh, Michael?
It was just a long press conference. Like,
are you whining?
Someone would ask a question, and no, but after a while, you know, it just...
Was there food?
No, and that's not...
No food?
I don't care
that's
about that.
That's why you're whining.
No,
oh,
that's
okay,
not
now I got it. They didn't feed you.
A press conference should be get in, make an opening statement, answer five or six questions, go.
You're so naive. What are you expecting?
We're in a big market. Phoenix is a big place. We have things to do.
What are you expecting your wedding to be like? You just think, hey, I do, get out of here, take some pictures, throw some rice, get in a car and go in July?
No, my wedding will be far more substantial than this new ASU AD.
How long did that thing take?
It's about 45, 50 minutes.
Wow, from the good morning, everybody, to okay, this wraps it up?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is entirely too long. That's like... take a needle and put it in my eye.
And I knew it was one of those things when a rep from ASU came up. It was supposed to start 11:30, and he said, we have to have the room cleared out by 12:30. So he's already, before the press conference even started, setting a precedence of, we have 60 minutes to get this press conference done.
Well, he should have said we have 15. I'm you know what? Now I'm not sorry I missed it. It sounds like it was just painstaking.
Now, Ray Anderson is going to do great things at ASU.
Yeah, we'll talk to him here in a couple minutes. The Diamondbacks. So in L.A. yesterday, the buzz actually was, it wasn't about the UCLA game. It was about how over in Beverly Hills that Masahiro Tanaka, the Japanese pitcher, was holding court, meeting with teams yesterday in Los Angeles. His agent's Casey Close, who played in the league. Tanaka was 24-0 last season. We've talked all about Tanaka. But that was the conversation in L.A. yesterday. Oh, my gosh, Tanaka's in town. Is he going to sign with the Dodgers? Here's the thing on the Dodgers. So the Dodgers have Clayton Kershaw, who's going to be a free agent at the end of this coming year. Guess who represents Clayton Kershaw? Yeah, Casey Close, same guy that represents Tanaka. How's that going to work out for you? So the Diamondbacks are there, the Dodgers, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Yankees. I don't know if they made if they started groundwork or anything. It would not surprise me if in the middle of the night that a plane flew into Sky Harbor over to Cutter Aviation, and Tanaka got out of the plane, and they put him in a limo, and they took him over to the ballpark, and they had his jersey hanging with some soft lights on it and said, you can be the guy here and do all that whole recruiting thing. It would not surprise me in the least. So that's going on. The playoffs are tomorrow, and they're expecting rain with the Colts game at New England and the Saints at Seattle. It's all about whether or not in Seattle Drew Brees can do anything at all. Because the last time the Saints played the Seahawks up there, they just got crushed. We're going to go to Vegas, talk to Jimmy Vaccaro, the wise guy at the bottom of the hour. Here is Drew Brees on trying to get after Seattle's defense.
You look at him in every statistical category, and they're, you know, if not number one, then they're certainly top five. And as complete a defense as there is at every position. So front four, linebacking, core, and then obviously in the secondary.
And it's supposed to be raining in Seattle for that game, and then raining in New England. We want it to blizzard. We don't want just some little pissy rain coming down. No. I mean, we want storms and cloud. We don't need lightning, but we want it to be where the guys are so miserable. That's fun. That's what it's all about. Geeked up for the playoffs tomorrow and on Sunday. On the other side, Ray Anderson, new director of athletics at Arizona State University. What is this guy going to do? I know there's a lot of Sun Devil fans listening that like to check in on their program. Here's your new guy. He joins me next. I'll be very direct with him on some stuff. Ray Anderson joins me on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. It's Good Friday. I hope you're pumped, psyched, geeked up for the big sports weekend. All the NFL games going on. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Our website, sports360az.com. Arizona centric. That's what we are all about. Yesterday, I was out in Los Angeles for the ASU and U of A games doing the show out there. I missed Ray Anderson's press conference. I heard he did well. The new director of athletics at Arizona State, replacing Steve Patterson. Ray Anderson joins us for a couple of minutes. Ray, thanks for coming on board. How do you think you did yesterday?
Well, I won't judge for myself, but my guy here, Mark Brand, and others said that we had a fairly successful day in terms of the press conference and the response to it. So I guess that means we at least had a passing grade, Brad.
I look forward to meeting you in person.
Likewise.
Have you been to Camp Tanazona yet?
No, I have not, and I understand it's a destination that I'm going to visit when we get up here in camp. So how is it? Tell me about it.
Do you like to run mountains?
No.
Yeah. Well, then good luck getting up Mount Cush. And keep Coach Graham and Coach Cush. And I've been here 20 years in the state, so I wasn't here during the Cush glory days. But it's an interesting job, I think, that you're coming into from the standpoint of there is so much history and tradition and heritage that people have hung on to through the years. That you're in a spot, I think the person before you, Steve Patterson, was in the same spot of moving the program forward with the stadium and the facilities. I think it's a really exciting time to come into this job from my point of view.
And you can be sure that that was one of the things that really attracted me to this position, is that it is a time of real progress, innovation, moving forward with a new stadium, but it's also an opportunity to reach back and really appreciate that tradition and the history of ASU football in particular, blend those things together and take us to an elite level. And that's one of the absolute goal, I should say. And so a combination of those things, Brad, are what led me to really want to pursue this opportunity aggressively, because it's one of the elite opportunities in college athletics unequivocally in this whole country. I really believe that.
Iowa's judge items of interest and news, and we're talking with Ray Anderson, ASU Vice President of Athletics. Ray Anderson, the new AD at ASU. My wife last night, she said, why is the news leading with the AD at ASU? And she didn't say it sarcastically. She said, what is it about him? And I said, well, he left the NFL to come to college. And that's why at 6 o'clock, he's the number one story item on some of the news channels in town. That's my view. Why don't you lay it out? Why is it you left the NFL for college?
Because the NFL is an absolutely incredible place to work. It's got a great brand. But in my job and what I was doing, it did not offer the opportunity to work in the academic community with student athletes who are going to come up and not necessarily play in the NFL or the NBA or go on the women's circuit in golf or in tennis, but to work with young folks who are going to come up and be our community leaders and be our business leaders. And so the chance to be able to stay in athletics but then be able to work with student athletes who are going to be in athletics but also be training to be our next leaders and our next community advocates, to have that component was something that was so intriguing and so interesting to me that it made leaving the NFL or waiting for an opportunity to be an NFL president or CEO an easy decision for me. And I couldn't be in a better place, in a better institution led by a more innovative president and academic support community who really wants to win championships in our classrooms, championships on our fields, and in championships in our business, in our community. You put all those things together, it was an easy decision for me to say, I want to go to Arizona State because the time for this unique opportunity will never present itself, at least not to me in my lifetime.
I get it. I mean, the ability to mentor, I guess, when you're standing there talking to a girls volleyball player or a guy golfer who's 19 years of age and to pour yourself into them a little bit. Yes, there's the business, there's the buildings, there's all that stuff to get to, but it sounds like you could go a lot deeper than where you were, so I get it.
Yeah, because I was a benefactor as a student athlete coming up through junior high and high school and college. The student athlete experience allowed me to benefit from coaches and teachers and administrators who really wanted to see me move on and be successful. And I was able to take advantage of that support. I now want to be part of that support mechanism for our young student athletes, men and women, to help mentor and to help guide and to help inspire and aspire to say, hey, you can do these things if you approach it the right way and you emphasize the student part of this equation. The opportunity to be part of that, Brad, is really exciting and a big part of what drove me here.
Ray Anderson, ASU Vice President of Athletics, the new AD at ASU. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. Who has mentored you? Who's part of your tree through the years?
Well, I've had the benefit of many. One of my mentors that really started me off, and God rest his soul, was Coach Lloyd Parkson at my high school. Mm-hmm. When I showed up as a ninth grade freshman, he was a Marine drill instructor. He had landed on Iwo Jima. He had more impact on me as a coach and a teacher than frankly anyone in my life, because he taught us discipline, but he also taught us that the last guy on the roster is equally as important as you, the star quarterback, because unless you have the mix and the support of your teammates around you, you will not be successful. So that was probably the most profound mentor in my life. And the other is my uncle, who's like my surrogate father, a guy named Mac Anderson, who lost his parents at a young age but went on to fight for our country in the war and came back and made his way through law school, became a lawyer, and just really worked hard, loved his family, wanted to be a good father. So those two, between Coach Parkson and Mac Anderson, those are the two mentors in my life that I really, really covet.
What did the NFL teach you and prepare you for in this position?
If there's one thing Commissioner Goodell constantly implores us all to do, is to understand that the status quo is not our option. We've got to constantly strive to get better. We've got to constantly strive to be creative and innovative, not just in terms of revenue streams and new opportunities, but in terms of player health and safety, et cetera. So the quality of never being satisfied is what really I want to bring to my work here and to this culture. Not that it doesn't exist already, but to really make that an emphasis that every day we've got a responsibility to figure a way to get a little better in everything we do. That's what I want. That's what I brought here, and that's certainly something that was driven home to me by my 8 years working with Roger Goodell.
I would think, Ray, that in knowing Dr. Crow, as I've dealt with him through the years, that he has this vision of worldwide, and the NFL obviously has a global vision as well. Can you take athletics and make them global? Meaning, are we going to see sports as we progress start to play outside of our country?
Well, we certainly in the NFL, you know, it's a goal to go global with our sport, our business model, our product, as we call it. And it's not necessarily in college athletics, from my perspective, to physically be there, but to have an impact there, because you can take our game on so many platforms now, and so through, you know, internet and all the website and the mobile devices. So let's be able to have our product available in terms of visually, but more important, have the athletic component of what we're doing as a university kind of be one of those things that is pointed to as part of what the university does in a really, really first-class way that provides entertainment and opportunity for stress release that goes with the rest of being a business and being an academic institution. And one of the things that really attracted me to this position is, in fact, Dr. Crow's visionary, outside of the box, let's be first in class, let's be world class, and that means going outside of our borders. I really like that about his vision, and that's also one of the reasons why this job was very unique and very intriguing to me.
Like I said, I wasn't at the press conference yesterday. A couple of the questions I'll let you go, but I'm sure you were peppered with the how are you going to move the stadium project forward and the whole stadium district, athletic district forward. Can you address that, just where you're inheriting a stadium that's starting to undergo renovation?
That also was one of the really exciting parts of this job. I mean, I've been in the NFL and seen new stadiums and big renovation projects coming through, and while I don't technically have the expertise to lead those initiatives, I've been in rooms and really appreciated the skill sets and the expertise necessary. So I think I have at least a 35,000-foot functional appreciation. So what's going to be enjoyable is working with my colleagues here, Morgan Olson and others, who will really drive that, but also be able to support and shelter and go out and sell and market and help financially get support for the program. And it's happening. It is happening. And one of the questions I asked somewhat repeatedly during the interview process is this real? Are we really committed? Because that will push this program forward, will push this university forward, will push this community forward in terms of economic impact, et cetera. And I was assured that it is happening, and I think in the next week or so there's going to be a more formal announcement about exactly what that means and the timing. But it's going to happen, Brad, and it's going to be spectacular.
Well, and it needs to happen, Ray. I mean,
yes.
And this is me on my soapbox. I'll let you go off that. I've heard for too many years how great the stadium is, and yet I walk around the stadium, and it's inadequate in so many ways, shapes, and forms that when people before you in your position would go ask donors for more or try to get new revenue streams opened up, those same people would come back to me and say, are they kidding? Until the stadium gets done, we're not going to do anything, and we're going to hold on to our money. Well, now is the time for those people to, I think, be tapped on, and I think that's started, and it's good to hear that your vision and had to be to move this forward, because the days of it's great that we're Sun Devils and it's great that this happened back in the mid-70s, that's fine. That's all well and good. I'm not demeaning it, but here's reality. You got to move this thing forward.
Yeah, that old business model doesn't resonate and sell anymore.
No.
It's called fan engagement, and fan engagement is you got to put them in an environment, in a setting that provides them not just great competition on the field, but all the accoutrements and all the comforts and all the access for technology and everything else and concessions and improved restroom facilities and parking and all those things that make the whole experience of coming to a stadium far superior than staying at home and watching it on TV. And any institution or any professional club or institution that wants to really make fan engagement and the fan experience first class. If you're not thinking about those things, you will lose them. This is the time for us to stop thinking and just talking about those things and actually doing it, and that will be happening.
Stay well. Appreciate the visit. Look forward to meeting you.
Likewise, Brad. Thank you, buddy.
It's Ray Anderson, the new athletic director at Arizona State University, saying a lot of what I like to hear. And I didn't steer that conversation to how many football games are you going to win and is football the this and football. Guys, it's about the entire athletic department. I know you don't want to be the number one softball team in the nation, but you should aspire to be. It's going to help out your program. Football will take care of itself. Hiring coaches, firing coaches, that'll take care of itself. That stuff to me is just meaningless if you don't have somebody that can push through this new stadium. It's just, all that other stuff is just noise. It's so minor compared to the stadium district. It really is. Sports360AZ.com. That's our website. Plenty of content. We're Arizona-centric. And, of course, on Twitter, @Brads. That's Matt. Great to be on White Mountain Radio. A lot of the White Mountain Sun Devil Club folks. I think you should be fired up for the steak fry coming up this June, getting to meet the new athletic director. Back with more on this Friday. Time to go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro, wisest of the wise guys, South Point Resort and Casino joins us every week. 38 years doing the lines, the odds in Vegas. Games tomorrow. It sounds like rain in both games. And then on Sunday, a couple of terrific ones as well. Jimmy, thanks for coming on board. Which game is receiving the most action?
The most action right now, my friends, is the 49er-Panther game. We opened that game, pick 'em, and the game went immediately to the visitors. 49ers, a 2.5-point favorite, but since that time, we've had to come back on the underdog, the Panthers, and we went to pick. Now we got more money on the 49ers. We're back to 49ers one. But all four games are drawing a great amount of attention, Brad.
We've got weather in the games tomorrow, right? That's what you're hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're naturally, but we're down a little bit with the Saints and Seahawks. The total opened 48. We're down to 45.5, so there has been some activity with the under there. And remember, usually it's usually the wind that has more of a determining factor or whether these games go under or over. And yeah, the second game, 52, we're down from 53.5, but we'll see what happens. Just always remember that the general public, when they come in game day, they simply bet more overs than unders. So it doesn't matter to them whether it's 2 degrees out or 200 degrees outside.
But we're not talking about a blizzard like last weekend or anything along those
no,
lines.
No, we're not talking about a blizzard, but we're truly talking about wild weekend. Last week, obviously, was wild card weekend. I don't know if it can get any wilder, but don't underestimate the games. They've been absolutely off the chart. And actually, going back quickly to Monday night, you had a Monday night BCS championship game, which obviously is one for the ages. So football's king, my friend, and people just love betting on it. And we'll have a full house tomorrow and a packed house again on Sunday.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort Casino, with us for a couple of minutes as he is on Friday. San Diego at Denver. What's the view on that one, Jimmy?
The wise guys took the +10 already with the Broncos. Broncos, we opened 10, total 55. We're down a little bit there. That's the highest total of the week. Money line, you can get about 3.5-1 on the Chargers, and a lot of people have stepped up and taken the Chargers to win this game outright. We'll have a lot of Bronco money between now and Sunday also with parlays, money line, and teasers. But right now, the smarts are all over the +10, and for the obvious reason. Not obvious reason, but, they did go last week. They beat Cincinnati, not a bad football team, but let's give the Chargers a little bit more credit and just go back a few short weeks, 27-20 Chargers. Yes, we know the Chargers backed into the playoffs, but these teams are relatively dangerous when you were counted out just a mere 2 or 3 weeks ago. Now I have a chance to obviously do something that, a lot of people haven't done as I come out of the woodwork and win the Super Bowl.
I got to ask you about the news of the week of expanding the playoffs. What's Vegas's view on that for next year?
Well, naturally, I look at it two different ways. First of all, the more games, the merrier as far as booking it, because it's such a popular sport anymore. Make no mistake about it. It's king. It always will be. But I don't know if the players can hold up. I kind of like it the way it is. It's enough drama and attention. Now, it surely wouldn't hurt us personally, only because more games, the better it is to book. But on a scale of, we don't need to maybe overkill this great product that we have.
No, I agree with you, and that's exactly where I'm at. I think the players are starting to just see the war of attrition take its toll on them. Those Thursday night games aren't nearly as pleasant to watch, I think is the only way to put it, because players are getting beat into the ground. Stay well, Jimmy. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort Casino. There you are on the games for this weekend. The Hall of Fame yesterday came out with their first-year nominees. They have the Pro Football Hall of Fame finalists. The voting was announced last night. They'll have the announcement during Super Bowl week. The first-year nominees are Derek Brooks, Tony Dungy, Marvin Harrison, Walter Jones. Walter Jones with the Seahawks. Harrison, of course, with the Colts. Dungy with the Colts. Brooks with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think of the guys that are on the list again, what I was pleased to see yesterday is our guy Aeneas Williams made it again. Now, I don't know how many times Aeneas is going to get the opportunity. The former great Arizona Cardinal who went off, of course, to be a St. Louis Ram. The selection committee will announce on February 1st in New York a minimum 80% required for induction. Eric, do you think Aeneas Williams can get 80% of a room? I mean, he was so understated and he was off the radar out here. I'm just wondering if 80% of a room, and I know Kent Summers from the Republic is the one that presents him and makes his case
right
every year. Clark Judge sits on the Hall of Fame committee. Clark, of course, is part of our show. And Clark believes Aeneas is a Hall of Famer.
I think he's a Hall of Famer, but just as you brought that up in conversation, Brad, it got me thinking the fact that he played, although he played on more successful teams, especially in St. Louis, he played on so many bad Cardinal teams that got so little national publicity, even by NFL standards. And he's sort of, the longer these guys are out of the game, the more I think some voters forget just how great they truly were when they played. I think that's going to be tough. And now you know I'm a huge Aeneas Williams fan. He comes on the show from time to time.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to make it.
See, because there's certain guys that didn't make it this year, so their window has closed. I'll give you an example. Paul Tagliabue failed to advance. Now, anybody who's a commissioner of the NFL back in his day that did a lot, from my view, of expanding television contracts and growing the interest in the game, I'm surprised by that. Jimmy Johnson, no longer being considered for the Hall of Fame, he dropped off. Don Coryell, who I dealt with back in the days of Air Coryell with Dan Fouts, John Jefferson, Wes Chandler, all those exciting Chargers teams, the Duck, as he was known because of his talk and his walk, Don Coryell is no longer there. That's a personal thing. I saw Coryell. If you didn't see Don Coryell, if you were in the East Coast, you didn't see those Charger teams and how he was such an innovator.
Yeah,
I think he got it.
He revolutionized offenses.
Right, but he's no longer being considered. He
yep.
didn't make it. Guys like Steve Atwater, good defensive back, safety with the Broncos. I liked watching him play. Roger Craig, the running back with the 49ers. Yeah, I liked Roger Craig.
Is not a Hall of Famer, though.
No, he's not.
No.
Terrell Davis. Terrell Davis was exciting to watch for a few years. Got beat up, was a high school kid in San Diego at Lincoln Prep. Okay.
Not a Hall of Famer, though.
Joe Jacoby was one of the biggest uglies on the Hogs line with the Redskins in the Joe Gibbs era. I don't know. I'd like Joe Jacoby in front of me more than some others, but he's mm-hmm. no longer there. Steve Wisniewski was just a guy with the Raiders who was a very good player, first-round pick, but I don't know.
Like Rod Woodson, when I think of secondary players, he's a Hall of Famer. Darryl Green is a Hall of Famer.
John Lynch?
Fence.
He's on the finalists this year.
But I don't think Steve Atwater is in the same category as those other two specifically.
Tim Brown.
Yes.
Is Tim Brown a Hall of Famer? See, I don't know. Andre Reed is on the list and Tim Brown's on the list. To me, Andre Reed, because Andre Reed had to play in the cold and bitter, and yeah, he was part of the K-Gun offense and all that stuff, which was great at Buffalo. And maybe it's just because I'd see the Raiders and it was enough. I got the whole Raider thing, commitment to incompetence. I understand.
But see, you're playing into exactly, like, the voters have to be completely, like, they can't have any personal bias, I guess.
See, like, Michael Strahan drives me crazy. Michael Strahan has done he was in some hot water when he played.
Sure.
Okay. And now he's done the whole sit on the couch, wear the soft pink sweater, rehab my image, go on Oprah. Now I'm part of Kelly, and I show up and do this thing on Fox on Sundays that I'm really not into, but I'm going to smile and wear a nice, cool tie, and people are going to say, hey, his Q rating's really high, but I don't know.
I barely remember him as a football player, now that you say that, just because he is so uninvolved in football. I know he does
he was
the
good.
Fox. Of course he was good.
He was good, but was he to the point where you're looking at this list that came out last night and saying, okay, you have to vote for this guy? You know, Tony Dungy to me is a Hall of Famer. Tony Dungy to me is a Hall of Fame coach. He did it in Tampa. He did it in Indianapolis. And yeah, I am weighing in what he's done away from football. He's grown the game and he's mentored men, which needs to happen more in today's society, in my view. Marvin Harrison was so understated when he was with the Colts and just kind of went out and did his own thing. But he was terrific to watch.
But he's another guy that got in some hot water.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Like, is Reggie Wayne, when Reggie Wayne gets done, is he a Hall of Famer?
Well,
it's tough, huh?
Good question.
It's tough.
He's played so well, even without Marvin Harrison.
Yes.
Marvin Harrison left.
And he's played so well for so long.
Right. I'm not even counting this year when he got hurt because he's been helping.
Yep.
On the other side, Goody at the Movies. So you're coming into this weekend, and there's a couple things to see. Scarlett Johansson's voice is a movie. It's just her voice. We don't see her. I saw her the other night on Letterman, and while she's drop-dead gorgeous, man, she comes across as just kind of, sort of, not having both oars in the water. I don't know. She's a little nuts, I thought. So I got to talk to Bill about that. And also, give me five movies for 2014 that we should be looking forward to. Goody at the Movies is next. Still to come, Cooper Webb, Team Yamaha, one of the hot racers across the country. They're in Arizona at Chase Field tomorrow night in front of 50,000 people. I'm going to talk to the 18-year-old. He's been in the sport for 15 years, and he's 18. Serious. Explain that. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, big NFL weekend ahead, college basketball too, it's time to give you a life. Here to do that, Goody at the Movies. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, USA Today, AZ Central. He joins us now. I saw Scarlett Johansson the other night on Letterman. She came across kind of dingy, actually. But gosh, to just hear her voice in a movie for, how long is Her, which debuts today? How long is that?
It's a couple hours.
Just
it's hearing, actually a little more than a couple hours.
Hearing her voice for 2 hours, can you handle that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Partly because you imagine her, probably. Now, Her, it's a great movie. It's really good, and it's really different than anything else that I've ever seen. Or it seems to be. What it really is kind of a love story. But it's, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is a guy that falls in love with a computer operating system, and she's the voice of this operating system.
Did you talk to her?
I did.
I don't know what it was on Letterman the other night, if she just had a couple backstage or I don't know what, but did you see her on Letterman, by the way?
I did not.
Yeah. How was she on the phone with you, by the way?
I've talked to her a couple times. She was fun. I mean, often many of them seem a little distracted because they're in a hotel room and they're surrounded by people and publicists and all these, you know, and they're kind of, you know, you're one, no matter how you like to think of yourself, you're a name on a list, you know, and you're like, you know, you're number six today, and as soon as she's done with you, she's going on to number seven. But she was fine. I think she's really smart. I mean, that may not always come across, but.
So you're saying this is one to go see, date night movie.
This is absolutely one to go see. Date night movie, art movie, good movie, whatever you want to. I just thought it was really good. And Joaquin, you know, despite evidently being insane, Joaquin Phoenix is a really good actor.
Yeah, my wife's got a crush on him, but then again, she has a crush on Philip Rivers.
If she has a crush on him, then she has to see this.
Yeah, I know. So she's going to drag me along by my nose, it sounds like.
And you'll like it. And we will talk, and you will tell me how much you liked it.
All right. Goody at the Movies with us. Wolf of Wall Street. So this movie has either gotten absolutely crushed or it's terrific. There's been no middle ground on this one.
I loved it. And I think that I wrote a column today defending it because I wrote a positive review of it. I gave it 4.5 out of 5 stars. And I said, you know, it was in my top 10 and all that stuff. And I got, you know, admittedly, some of these are older readers, but, you know, why are you glorifying pornography? This is disgraceful. Martin Scorsese, I'll never go to another one of his movies. And it's like, it's not pornography. I mean, I was talking to Eric just a minute before we went on. And I said, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, this is a for real R rating. You know, this they had to trim it to get it down from NC-17. And he said, "Why? You know what? You know, is it just awkward? Is it?" It's like, "Oh no!" It's like everything you can think of that makes a movie R rated in a really hard R kind of way is in there.
2014. So there's a Transformers 4 coming out. There's Godzilla. There's some biblical movies. There's Hercules. There's a whole lot that's coming out. What? Give me four or five projects that either are in the works for this year or that you know that are coming that you're really looking forward to seeing, and people should too.
Yeah, the one I'm really looking forward to, and maybe I'm probably wrong, but I'm really looking forward to Monuments Men. And it's George Clooney co-wrote it and directed it, and he stars in it. Although he's, but so do, a lot of, you know, Brad Pitt, Bill Murray, all these people. You know, there's, and the thing, and the reason that I have a slight hesitation is it was supposed to open in 2013, and it got pushed back. And often that is a sign that it's
trouble.
Just, yeah, there's a real problem. They gotta,
yeah.
You know, like with World War Z. I mean, they had to completely redo the last third of the movie, but. Clooney says, and Clooney, from all accounts, is a pretty straight-up guy. He said, look, it just wasn't ready. I wasn't done with it. And, so that's how it is. You know, but and that's a big decision for a movie like that, because you got stars like that, you got a cast like that. You think, well, maybe that could get some awards consideration. And you push it back to February, nobody's going to remember it, because the Oscars are, you know, they're going to be a little bit later this year. There's going to be all the talk about Oscars and stuff. And that movie won't be eligible until the following year. But I really... For me, that's the one. And, you know, but the thing is always, I have to do these little, you know, I always got to do these previews of, you know, here's the big movies in the spring, and here's the big ones in the summer, and here's the big ones in the fall, and here's the big holiday movies and all that stuff. The thing that happens every year, and I really like this, this is what I like about movies, is the ones that you really love, you don't even know about yet.
Yeah.
And they're out there, they're in production, they're in the pipeline, somebody knows they're sitting on something good, but like with Her. You know, nobody had even heard of this thing for a while, or certainly wasn't paying any attention to it. And then it comes out, and it's getting all these great reviews and stuff. I mean, you knew that American Hustle was going to attract a lot of attention because of the cast and because of the buzz around it. You knew Wolf of Wall Street, DiCaprio and Scorsese. You know stuff like that. You know, I mean, those are the ones that you know are going to get your attention one way or the other. Now, sometimes they're a bust, you know, and that's interesting too. But I think that... I hope I'm not disappointed. I hate getting all fired up for a movie and then you go see it and it's like just garbage.
Well, but here's the thing, Bill. So we've seen where all these Marvel comics, and they do just print money, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm seeing that in 2014, there's two Hercules movies that are coming out. And I'm thinking, how far can you go on this stuff? And when will that go away and the next thing will come along? Because we'll see sequels. You know, we're seeing another Transformers this year. I don't know if it's going to be any good, but...
I don't know if it will either, but I would be...
It'll do great. It'll do great. No, we both already know that. But there's just not that much, I guess, when I look at Transformers 4 to say, really, couldn't you have put this into something different?
Well... And that's the thing. But I mean, ideally, what they'll do, what they should do, and what sometimes they claim they do, but they don't always, is you make Transformers 4. It's, and I don't want to judge a movie before I see it because that's not fair because of what I do for a living. But the trend is that it's not going to be that good. And I kind of got a headache just saying the words because they're so loud and they're so giant. But it's going to make $500 million. Now they cook the books some in Hollywood, and they, because for tax reasons they don't want to make too big a profit. And sometimes they'll claim that a movie hasn't made a profit when it's made it, but that movie's going to make some money. Ideally, you would plow some of that money back into like smaller movies,
right?
And really good movies. And that sometimes it happens, and most of the time it doesn't, because it's like why don't we just make a Transformers 5 with all this money, and then we'll make even more of it, and then it becomes a sort of self-perpetuating.
It's like having another Hobbit. There's going to be another Hobbit next December.
Yes, the book is like 200 pages long.
Right,
it's going to end up being 9 hours of Hobbit.
No, I got it. It's Hobbit. I understand.
You could read the. I think that it works out that you could read the book probably twice in the amount of time that it will take to see the entire 3-movie thing.
Jeez. I did want to ask you before you get out of here about Lone Survivor.
Very good.
Yeah.
Brutal. Pete Berg made it. You know, he did Friday Night Lights, a lot of movies. Unfortunately, he did Battleship, but that's just a little...
We all have our problems,
right.
Our cross to bear.
But Mark Wahlberg is a Navy SEAL, and I was really interested because one of my nephews graduated from SEAL school in June, so it's interesting to me. And what's kind of cool is at the beginning of it, they show some real footage of SEAL training and these are stories that I'd heard from, you know, my nephew and from, you know, his dad, my brother, and all, you know, some of these things. But to see them, like, it begins when they fish this guy out of the ocean, and this doctor, this medic, has got, you know, he's listening to his heart, and he's like, six times three. What is it? What is it? Hurry, hurry, hurry! And the guy's just sitting there looking at him like he just asked him to translate Sanskrit or something. He's and then finally he's like, 18. And the doctor's like, yes.
So I'm going to see that. Based on that,
it's brutal. The violence is very brutal, but it's also very realistic, and I think that's what they were going for.
Before you get out of here, so did you watch the BCS title game?
I did.
Did you watch any of the other channels?
No, and I wanted to, but
I had a friend
who was over, and he had been sick, and he'd been in an accident, and I couldn't really. I heard some were great, some weren't, but that was the idea. I mean, pick the one you like. Which did you like the best?
I was going to text you while it was going on, saying, "Can you believe they've got Manziel and Tebow on a split screen with no sound of Musburger and Herb Street, but you can see the play?" And they're diagramming, and they're sitting in a room with a girl who knows nothing about sports, and she's asking them questions while the game's going on. It was tremendous. Yeah, there were some odd pockets, but it was really gripping way to consume sports. It really was. It was terrific.
I mean, you got to believe that's the future, right?
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's they've done that to some extent, but you know what that can also be good for, I think. Or other live events, like the Oscars or something.
Sure. Certainly
the Olympics. You know.
The Olympics are going to need it because there's no Lindsey Vonn to showcase now. What are they going to do? Who are they going to show? I don't care about these people.
I loved a Twitter comment I saw the other day that said, now NBC has to reassign the guy who was going to do all the Tiger reaction shots.
Right. Your job has been cut. I'll let you go off that. Stay well.
All right, you too.
It's Bill Goodykins.
Happy New Year.
You too. Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill. Hey, this show is brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. It's all about you when we take the show on the road to Los Angeles for U of A, UCLA. It's all about you when next week we're in Tucson taking the show for ASU, U of A. It's all about you next month when we go to the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. It's all about you when we go to Las Vegas for the Pac-12 and WAC basketball tournaments in March. When I say it's all about you, that's what it's all about. Tim Hovick, the general manager, is a big sports fan, big consumer of sports, big fans of what we do here. And he has said, Brad, wherever you need to go, we're with you. You let people know the Arizona Ford dealers and Santan Ford is behind you. And we have through the years. And you've bought vehicles from them. I appreciate it. They appreciate it. I drive a Ford Fusion. Makes a lot of sense for me. The 2014 Fusion. I get around in comfort, style, luxury. I feel good about the vehicle I'm in. Can you say that? Straight-faced, he's driving a Fusion. Are you kidding me? No, I'm driving a Fusion. I can fit in it. It's 6'8". Not a problem. I can get out to where I need to go. Today, I've got meeting. I'm a soccer dad tonight. I'm going to be running and this whole weekend, too. The Ford Fusion from Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Plenty of content on sports360az.com. Plenty of content. Arizona-centric. Eric took apart our Brett Hundley interview yesterday and wrote a little bit more about it. Had tremendous response to that. Eric Bledsoe's knee and his surgery. It's not just the main stuff. We go behind the scenes. We bring you some stories of kids around the valley on the high school level, the college, community college. We do recruiting. We do all sorts of stuff. If you've not checked it out, it's different. It's unique. It's what we're all about here day in and day out. Also on Twitter, @BradSesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And it's always good to be on White Mountain Radio. Should be a gorgeous weekend up in that part of the state. White Mountain Radio.